And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, and men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our special guest today is Glenn Poole. Glenn is a writer, campaigner, and practitioner who has been working on men's and boys' issues for over 20 years. He's the author of Inside Man and How You Can Stop Male Suicide in 7 Simple Steps. Originally from England, Glenn was the UK coordinator for International Men's Day for many years and a founding member of the Men's and Boys Coalition. He relocated to Australia in 2015 when he founded the Stop Male Suicide Project, and since July 2017 has worked for the Australian Men's Health Forum as their development officer. Glenn, welcome to Dads on the Air.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
So, Glenn, you've been very busy with Australian Men's Health Week that's coming up. What is the theme of the Men's Health Week this year?
Yeah, Men's Health Week runs every year in run-up to International Father's Day, which is in June in other countries. I know in Australia it's September, so it started on Monday the 11th this year, and the theme, appropriately in terms of that fatherhood link, is men and families making healthy connections. That's the Australian theme, so different countries all over the world take a different approach, but this year in Australia we're focusing on men and families and the way that families promote good health for the men within them.
And I think there are a range of events, some hundreds of events planned around Australia for the week, aren't there?
Yeah, so look, the week's hosted in Australia by the Men's Health Information and Resource Centre, which is based at the University of Western Sydney. But they don't make all the events happen. They make sure that the week is marked and celebrated. They run the website. They set the theme. It's really down to individual organisations at a community level to put on events. And last I heard, there was at least 200 events happening around Australia this week for Men's Health Week. So, and it varies. You'll find things happening in men's sheds. Maybe some local councils will get involved. Maybe like an exercise class, like a yoga class, will offer free sessions for men. You might have local pharmacies putting on information. You might have organisations having breakfasts and talks and this kind of thing. So there's a whole range of stuff, and there's still chance this week to get involved. Go onto the Men's Health Week website and look at the events in your local area and get involved in one.
Well, that's really exciting news. And as far as the Australian Men's Health Forum is concerned, that's your operation, I think the big event is that you've got a new website to unveil.
Yeah, so the Australian Men's Health Forum has been around for, getting on for 15, 20 years now in different guises, and has always been involved in promoting Men's Health Week. And we represent members and individuals and organisations who work in men's health in different ways. We're a peak body, so we attempt to represent the men's health sector across Australia. And it's always been largely a voluntary organisation, Bill, as I'm sure you're aware, but we were very fortunate to secure 3 years of funding from the federal government last year, and I've been very privileged to be the first full-time member of staff we've ever had. So we've been doing a lot of work behind the scenes in the first year. One of the things that we're doing is launching our new website, which will be a great source of information for anyone who cares about and is interested in men's health. And then more broadly on social media, we've been working with many different organisations to put together a campaign called the Know Your Man Facts campaign. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that we've got different organisations working in men's health in lots of different ways who've contributed a message about men's health, and those are all available on our website, designed up, beautiful, ready for people to go in, get those messages, get those ideas and share them out to the world. And it's not just about, you know, saying to men, this is what you need to do to improve your health. It's about getting people thinking about those deeper social factors that that shape our health, like education and family and work and our social connections. And also getting people to think about what it is that they can do to champion men's health healthy mates, look out for your mates, that kind of stuff, but also become a champion for men's health issues, because we need more people raising a voice about the many different social issues that shape men's health, like boys' education and the male suicide challenge that you and I have spoken about before, and what happens to fathers and families, all those kind of things that will be very familiar to your listeners.
And you just mentioned then the website. What actually is the website address? How can people get there?
Two websites that people should be aware of, Bill. One is the Men's Health Week website. I mean, if you just go to a search engine and tap in Men's Health Week, you'll end up there anyway, but it's menshealthweek.org.au. So that's where you find out all about what's happening this week for Men's Health Week. And then for the Australian Men's Health Forum, our website is amhf.org.au, Australian Men's Health Forum, amhf.org.au.
And we're speaking today with Glenn Poole, who is the Development Officer for the Australian Men's Health Forum. Glenn, you mentioned then too that you're getting some government support, which is very welcome to see some men's groups being funded. But does this in any way hinder your activities, do you think, having government funding?
That's a terrible question to ask me, Bill. Of course not. I have nothing but praise for our funders. And yeah, look, it's a good question. I think our former president, Julian Krieg, who was instrumental in getting the funding in the first place, has always struck a note of caution that we can't simply be a sector or an organisation which relies entirely on government funding. We need to be looking broader than that. We need to be looking to all the other kind of ways of making sure we're funded and sustainable. My experience personally is it hasn't hindered us. It's actually given us the opportunity to do a whole heap of work which we wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. But we're also very mindful of the fact that we want to make sure that we are not an organisation and we're not a sector which is entirely dependent on government funding, because it's simply not sustainable. And too often what you see in many sectors is that some really great initiatives take off because it's the flavour of the month for a particular government or a particular government department, and then it's no longer the flavour of the month and the funding dries up, and then all these great projects and these great workers get lost. So we're really mindful that part of what we're going to be doing over the next 3 years is building on the opportunity which government funding provides us and looking to diversify where our funding comes from so that we can continue doing what I hope is great work that we've been doing over the last year and will continue to do.
Yeah, it's great to get that support from the government, I'm sure. Now, I just wanted to mention one of the posters on your website. It says, all this emphasis on the health of boys and men, what's that about? They're all right, aren't they? And that seems to be a common response when you talk about men's health. What's your response to that? I mean, are men all right anyway?
Well, look, on one level, I think we need to recognise that we actually live in one of the world's wealthiest societies, so it depends on what you compare it to. So, you know, compared to men and boys and women and girls in other countries, and compared to men and boys 50 or 100 years ago in Australia, on average, we're doing great. But we can always do better, and that's also not true for all men. So when you compare men and women, for example, which sometimes people are reluctant to do, but I think it's important to measure the difference, we know there's some key measures which demonstrate we could be doing a lot better for men's health. You know, men die 6 years younger on average, we're three times more likely to die of suicide. We account for about 95% of workplace deaths. We account for 2 out of 3 preventable or avoidable deaths. We're 4 times more likely to die of heart disease before the age of 65. So there's a whole host of issues there which demonstrate that we could be doing better for men and boys. And then, as always, I mean, that applies to men and boys of all backgrounds. And then, as always, there's different groups of men who do worse when compared to other groups. So, you know, if you've got a lower educational status, if you're struggling with money, of lower socioeconomic status, if you're an Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander, some issues surrounding being gay, bisexual, transgender or intersex, there's a whole host of different groups. If you're living in rural, regional and remote communities, there are a whole host of different groups of men who aren't doing as well as the other groups that you could compare them to. So we need to be mindful of that. When we speak, Bill, I often say some version of this. I want to live in a society where everyone is healthy and taken care of, and that includes women and girls, and it includes men and boys. And focusing focusing on men and boys does not mean that we have to stop focusing on women and girls. For me, the sign of a mature civil society is that we're able to address the issues that men and boys face in addition to the issues that women and girls face. There doesn't need to be competition there. But it is difficult, let's not pretend. It is difficult to bring focus onto the issues that men and boys face, including poorer health on average, without causing some conflict sometimes, that somehow by asking for more for men and boys, you're asking for less for women and girls. And for me, that's not the case. There's always more we can do, and that doesn't mean to say we have to take anything away from women and girls.
So, Glenn, the Australian Men's Health Forum is the peak national forum promoting a social approach to male health and well-being. How would you describe this social approach?
Yeah, okay. So when we think of men's health, we tend to think of doctors, we think of medicine, we think of individual behaviours like smoking and drinking and diet and exercise and blood pressure and all those things, all of which are really, really important. But when you look at the research, what it tells us is only about 30% of poor health can be linked directly to those things like smoking and drinking and lack of exercise and poor diet. So 30% is a hefty chunk, and it means that, you know, if you want to improve people's health, then we do need to put some focus on there. But then there's the other 70%. And part of what the other 70% is a whole host of different social factors that shape our health and well-being. So boys' education is a men's health issue. So for people who aren't aware of that, that sounds like an odd thing to say. But basically, the better the education you get, the better your health in later life. We know that on average, boys aren't performing as well at school, or schools aren't performing as well at educating boys, is another way of looking at it, as girls do on average. So therefore, if we take action to improve the education of boys today, then we increase men's health tomorrow. Other common social factors are things like the family that you grow up in, your experience of fatherhood, your working life, the social connections you have. One of the messages that's been provided for our Know Your Man Facts campaign, again, comes from our friends at the Men's Health Information and Resource Centre, and they've drawn on a piece of research about social connections, which shows that having three good friends leads to a healthier and longer life. So people who have a few good close friendships will tend to live longer than those who don't, irrespective of whether you smoke or drink or you have a poor diet or whatever. So those social factors are all the other things, in addition to the obvious individual behaviours, that shape our health.
And perhaps if that social function is improved or increased, perhaps your mate might say to you, look, I don't like the look of that mole on your leg, or some other encouragement perhaps to go and get a medical check, which a lot of men seem reluctant to go and do.
So yeah, there's potentially a connection there, that if you've got people around you who are concerned for your well-being, people that you can turn to or talk to, then you are actually more likely to take better care of your individual health. So we're not saying that individual behaviour is relevant. We're not saying that men don't need to be responsible for their health and well-being, because of course we all need to be individually responsible for our health and well-being. But what we're saying is the evidence is clear that our individual behaviour is shaped by what's going on around us at a social level. And so, yeah, we know from research that a man is more likely to talk about his health concerns to a friend or a family member first before he turns to the GP. So one of the messages we've been putting out with our Know Your Man Facts campaign this year is it's not just about sending messages to individual men about, you know, don't smoke or eat more apples or, you know, exercise a bit more, all of which is good and all of which is helpful, but it's about saying to men and to women, think about what it means to be a healthy mate. You know, it means being a good listener. It means being there for someone. It means caring for those around us. So men's health is everyone's concern. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you personally are a very healthy individual man. If we live in a society where all the citizens are healthy, then it's a better society for all of us. So it's beholden, and it's actually beneficial to all of us to be thinking not just about our own health and well-being, but also about the health and well-being of those around us. And that's just the social stuff, because then underneath that, there's another layer, the systemic layer. So that's how does government and the economy and large institutions and big NGOs and charities, how do all those organizations actually shape those things like education and how we interact in society and what our experience of working life is? That might sound a bit complex, but let me make it really simple. So go back to education. If we improve boys' education, then we improve men's health. Well, the way that we educate boys is shaped by government policy and government funding. And that in itself is shaped by our public conversation about what's important, what is important for politicians to address. So if the public is not having conversations focused on, and the media not having conversations focused on how important it is to improve boys' education, it's unlikely that government will do anything about that. And if government does nothing about it, then it's unlikely that boys' education will improve. And then in another few decades, we will still be in a situation where men's health isn't as good as it could be. So when we talk about the social factors, we're not trying to take responsibility away from individuals for looking after their health, because that's always important, but saying if we want to make a big difference to people's lives, we have to address these social and these systemic factors which shape our health and well-being.
And when you talk about public conversation, I mean, these days we've got to take into account the what's called social media. And I think it's you're promoting something from the Australian Fatherhood Research Consortium. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, Twitter chat. Yeah, so I'm 48, Bill. This is also a little bit alien to me, but we're really working hard to engage in the world of social media, because it's where many people get their information. It's where many people connect. It's where many people have conversations. So the Australian Fatherhood Research Consortium is one of the organisations that that we at AMHF work with. It's a consortium of academics who are focused on research into different aspects of fatherhood. Great organization, and one of the things that they're starting to do is look at how they can start to communicate to the public more about the importance of fatherhood, but from a, you know, rooted in a kind of, you know, a very good academic and scientific basis. What we've been doing with them this year is working on getting a conversation around fatherhood on Twitter. It took place on Tuesday, and basically it's a big conversation about under the headline Healthy Dads, and the idea was to get as many different people, both fathers themselves or people who've got dads or are in families, but also different academics and experts around the world to take part in a simultaneous conversation about fatherhood and why fatherhood is important, what are the challenges that fathers face today, how can fathers contribute to the health of their kids, how does fatherhood contribute to the health of men, all those kind of things. And the great thing about social media is that, I mean, obviously social media has its negative elements, but I think one of the positive aspects of social media is it enables people to connect right around the world. So we can draw in people from the States or the UK and Europe or wherever they are in the world, and draw them into a conversation where we can all learn from each other. And we can reach out to and connect to people that we'd really struggle to connect to if we were simply putting on an event in a town hall. Not that we ever want to get away from that, because there's something very important about connecting to human beings face to face. But it's 2018, and one of the places where people now meet and connect is in the world of social media. So I think we're going to be doing a lot more of this kind of thing, where we're a national organisation, but we have, you know, one full-time member of staff. And much as I like to jump on a plane and fly around to the different cities in Australia and take part in conferences and meet people and get face-to-face with people and build connections and networks, which is really important, we can actually reach a lot more people a lot quicker if we're also making use of this wonderful tool called social media. So that was a great experiment. We learned a lot from it, and we're going to be doing a lot more of those types of activities with our different partners over the next couple of years.
That's great. So that's Twitter chat. And I noticed this year that Andrology Australia is getting involved with Men's Health Week in particular, and I mean that's a subject limited to males, as I understand Andrology. It's the functions and diseases of males, especially reproductive organs. But how are you working together with Andrology Australia?
Yeah, so Andrology Australia is one of the key organisation that's been funded by the federal government. We're all working together on something that's called the Male Health Initiative. And one of the requirements of the funding from the government is that we work harder to work together. So one of the ways we've been working together this year is by getting together a lot sooner before Men's Health Week and talking to each other about how we can support what each other are doing in a way that hopefully increases the number of people who are aware of and involved in Men's Health Week. So they've been working hard to put a greater focus on the broader health issues too, because obviously their focus is on, as you quite rightly say, it's urological issues, it's erectile dysfunction, it's prostate issues. The organisation is very much rooted in the medical world, but they also recognise that you can't separate that from broader health and well-being. If you're depressed, if you eat too much and put on weight, it will impact your reproductive system eventually. And if you've got issues with your reproductive system, if you've got erectile dysfunction, then it's going to have a knock-on effect on your mental well-being. So I think what we're seeing from Andrology Australia with their newer approach, since they've got the funding, is a willingness to sort of expand the conversation about health beyond the medical. And one thing they've done this year is they've developed a campaign called It's Healthy to Talk. Again, you can go and have a look for that on Google. Get a hashtag on it, the hashtag It's Healthy to Talk, and you'll find that they've been doing some stuff online, but also they've been piloting a few grassroots events in New South Wales, in Lismore. So there's an initiative called It's Healthy to Talk in Lismore. So again, go and look online and find out about that, because there's some interesting stuff that those guys are doing.
Yeah, it is great, because it just seems unfashionable to talk about the main threats to men's health, the prostate cancer, bowel cancer, these sort of topics. Although I do notice there's some more promotion of bowel cancer on TV at the moment, so let's hope it broadens the conversation. So, Glenn, we've reached the stage of the program where we ask our guests to pick a song. Would you like to tell us which song you would like us to play and why you picked it?
Yeah, I'm delighted to bring this song to the program. It's by Dr. Neil Hall from the Men's Health Information and Resource Centre at the University of Western Sydney, which hosts Men's Health Week. I think it's the first. I think it's possibly the first time a song has been specifically written for Men's Health Week, certainly in Australia, possibly a world first. And it's a song about how the social determinants of life impact men, and it's called One Man Down.
Gets in the way of breathing through the day, but what have I to say? I'm just one man down. I hear them squawk again that I should share my pain. Talking won't bring back my job, wife, kids or land. I might get called a such and such, but one man down is one too much. When six good men fall every day, someone's gotta say. Losing time. someone's gotta say stuff.
That was One Man Down, sung for us today by Neil Hall. I think Neil is actually a doctor who works in this area, and I think so. That's a bit of a first for us, I think. But I just wanted to remind everybody that we'd love to hear from our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email, and we'll be in touch. And if you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. So it just remains for me now to thank our special guest today, Glenn Poole. Glenn, thank you very much for being on the program.
Oh, great. Thanks for having me, Bill. Really appreciate what you're doing to get the conversation about men's health out there.
That's great. And we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.